Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide, for round us falls the eventide. O let your word, that saving light, shine forth undimmed into the night. Amen. In our gospel reading this evening, or this morning, Jesus begins his parable a little bit differently. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like." I say that's a little bit different because you've heard many of his other parables, and many of those begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So the parable that Jesus is telling his disciples in Matthew chapter 25 speaks of a time in the future, a time when the bridegroom is gone, yet his coming is anticipated. So this is how Jesus prepares his disciples, both then, whom he's speaking to, and us now, for a time when we cannot see him, but we know that he is coming, that he is on his way. Indeed, that is the purpose of this parable. It is to prepare people for such a time as that. But just to be clear, what is certain from the parable, what is certain from the story itself, is the reality of the bridegroom, the reality of the marriage feast at the end of the story. That is the culmination of it all, is this glorious wedding feast, this glorious party. And all of the other stuff that goes on in the parable is a preparation for that. They are actions that are going on alongside during the same period as the preparation for that feast. Now, we happen to be interested in those other details, those details that are going on alongside, because that is where we come in, right? That is our part in this story. But no, while we may be characters in the parable, and I think we are not the main character, right? The story is about, first and foremost, the bridegroom. And we are not the bridegroom. And the verdicts spoken about the other characters in the parable are spoken concerning their preparation, or lack thereof, towards him. And so we know that it's in the future. What sort of time would then that Jesus is speaking of, what sort of time would that be like? As is clear, and as we said before, it is a time when everyone has heard of the bridegroom. Everyone knows about his predicted coming. Everyone knows about this fantastic, might we even say, heavenly party that is the final outcome. That is a culmination that everyone has heard about. As with the other parables, no one is left out because they have no clue, no idea about what is going to happen. No, they are aware. And the judgment that he speaks about them is in regard to their wisdom or foolishness, because they do know, in some sense. And yet some do not prepare. That is what is foolish about them. That being said, although the bridegroom and the party are the ultimate reality, there is a chunk of this parable where that does not appear to be the case. Right, there's a chunk of this parable where he is heard of, but he is not seen, even though he's the main character. There's a rumor floating around about this bridegroom, but then everyone asks themselves, well, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to believe everything you hear? The time that Jesus is warning them about is a time when the main character of the story is conspicuous in his absence. Right? And the rest of the people act accordingly. Some act in faith. Others act, apparently, with little concern, little preparation at all. And during that part of the parable, right, and that is the part of the parable we live in, right, during that part of the parable, what does it look like? What do the characters say about each other? Who looks smart during that period of time? During that time when people wait and wonder because, gee, It's been an awfully long time, and yet there is none of this bridegroom that some people keep going on and on about. And all the while, half of the people are going around carrying an extra burden. Right? They don't seem as light. They don't seem as free as the others do because they are carrying around an extra jug of oil with them, like an overprepared Boy Scout. And all the time they're insisting, no, 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 this is important, right? Remember, he is coming. He's just not here yet. And even though it's not stated by the other characters, I'm sure there could be something along with a reply of, sure he is. Yeah, he's probably right around the corner, guys. This is a period of time when, because of this confusion, because of this back and forth about what is important, what is not important, there is obviously going to be contention. Right? This is a period of time which might be considered darkness rather than light, to borrow a phrase. Because half of the people complicate their lives by believing in and by preparing for something that has to sound ever more like a fairy tale as the hours tick by. Where is this prince on his white horse? If he is coming, where is he? Surely he would have been here by now if that were his plan. And so that half of the people look ever more foolish to the world as time goes on. Just as that worrywart, someone you all know, just as they look as they overprepare for anything, right? The extra coat, the umbrella, the sunscreen, the snacks, etc., etc. They always look foolish until you hear the thunder, until those big drops of rain start to fall. And that is what is remarkably normal about this story that Jesus tells. Just as in real life, something does not go as expected. The bridegroom is delayed. Why? Who knows? It doesn't say. Does he have a flat tire? Is there construction? Or is it, since he is on his way to the wedding, he is being congratulated. Every house he goes by, he's being greeted and toasted every 10 feet. Someone wants to get in a good word as he is on his way. We don't know. But while he is out there somewhere, the bridesmaids in the foreground grow drowsy. They begin to nap. But then, all of a sudden, he comes. It is a time that is expected and yet at the same time a surprise. But he is here. It's time for the party. And here's where the ending plays out just as Jesus has predicted, right? The wise ones go off to a good end. The foolish ones do not. Now, what might a time like that look like? Right? You know what that time looks like, don't you? You live in that time. You know that this creation, this world, is headed towards something, that history itself is headed toward an end, a goal, a climax, a resolution. It is going where it is supposed to head, just as an arrow flies toward the target. And you know that that end is the day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, all things will be put in subjection to God. And you also know that while that is the end of this fallen creation, it is also the beginning of the new. And you know that the bridegroom talked about here is our Lord Jesus. You know that you do not see him now, but you believe that he is going to return at an hour when no one knows. And when he comes, he will come to gather you, to bring you together with him forever, to a place where all tears are wiped away, a place where sorrow is no more, a place where death is ended. And the question for this time is a question down through all of time, is do you believe him? Way back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that everyone who hears his words and does them, that person is wise. Right? The wise is the one who hears the words of Jesus and acts accordingly. That is, they are the ones who believe him, despite the growing darkness, despite the taunts and the jibe and the snide remarks of those. The temptations to those who live in such a time are temptations away from the faith. Or the temptation is something like, is all of this, is what we are doing here this morning, is living our lives as we go out here from these doors in a way that we know will please God, is all of that worth it? Is all of that necessary? Doesn't it seem like an extra burden, like a waste, to carry all of that extra load? But the wise will grab that jug and they will hold on to it continually because they know the bridegroom is coming. He is the bridegroom whom they love, he is the one whom they trust, he is the one who has shown them his love in remarkable ways by laying down his life and rising again. That is why they believe in him. That is why they insist on living this way, even when the world thinks it is foolish. And just as the parable says, this faith is not something that we could give away, even if we wanted to. Right? We can only send others back to the source. Return. Return to Moses and the prophets. Return to the evangelist. They have what you need. They will tell you all about this bridegroom. They will tell you all about what is going to happen. They will prepare you for his coming and for the party, for his imminent return. That is the only way. As you see from the end of the parable, there is no other way. Right? There's no way to strong arm Jesus into getting what you want. There is no way to force his hand. There's no way to turn back the clock. There's no way to get him to do what you want by force of your will. No, he is the bridegroom. He is the Lord. He knows those who are his. And they know him, and like sheep, they flock to his voice. They follow where he leads. And where he leads is to a party, to a feast, to a glorious paradise which has been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.